Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Low Down and Dirty, presented by Garage Talk Live, the place to get the lowdown on dirt track racing from the greater Northeast and beyond. We plan on getting you up to speed and informed on all the latest news in the world of dirt track racing, from the Mile at Syracuse to the Bull Rings of the Midwest we've got you covered. So get ready for the fastest hour on Blog Talk Radio. And here, with their elbows up and the loud pedal down, your hosts, Joe Adams and Brian Whippy Whitman.
Hey, folks.
Good evening, and welcome to Lowdown Dirty.
Whip, how are you?
Awesome.
I did USAC. Can't get any better.
You did 2 out of 4, didn't you?
Yep. I'm excited. It was good.
Got a pretty cool show tonight.
Yep.
Got to give a shout-out. We got a full house tonight. In the house.
In the house.
Directly across from me. None other than Mark Sharp Garman. To his immediate right. It's the Flying Stew, Brian Stewie. Former late model racer. Three-time champion.
You could still qualify.
Yes, you could. You could still do it.
If he had a tricycle, he could still qualify.
He could. He could. And our good buddy, Mr. Tim Long from Big Diamond Speedway. A lot of cool things happening at Big Diamond Speedway this weekend, and we will get to that momentarily.
What am I, chopped liver?
I don't like you.
Oh, the captain.
Nice. I don't like you, so I'm not going to discuss you.
You don't
even exist to me. I'm sorry. Scott Deal's here, too.
Give me my notes. I'm going home.
No. This is my sandbox. I make up the rules.
Right. I'm good with that.
I'm a little tired of Groundhog Day on Saturday.
How's that?
It happens over and over and over.
How many times has it happened now? Wait.
5 in a row. The natives are getting restless on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Dwayne Howard picks up another one, getting on the D train.
That's right, Dad.
Here we go. You're going to take it there now, aren't you?
Yep, we're going on the D train.
Hey, I want to say this. Dwayne has won 5 in a row. I'm going to tell you something right now. You know who the fastest car is on the speedway every week?
The
1C. The 1C is the fastest car.
Don't you know it?
Dwayne gets there first. Craig is there right at the end every time. And, you know, Craig had to go back.
Yeah.
Craig had to go back. If these features were 5 laps longer, man, the 1C would be probably picking off 2, 3, 4 in a row. That car is uber fast. Uber.
Yeah.
You heard
that.
It here first.
Yeah. That's right. Uber fast. So, hey, hats off to Dwayne and to Craig. And they're getting it done. You know who else is flying, too? The Hall of Famer.
Yep. Mr. Kazi.
He is flying, too. So, they're getting... They're right there.
It's going to get good.
It's going to get real good.
It's going to get good.
It's going to real good. And there's not a huge spread in the points either.
No.
I don't have the points in front of me, but.
And then there's Junior Howard in the Sportsman, Mr. Brett Kresley.
Kid's unbelievable.
He's
got 3 wins now, right?
He's got 3 wins.
Yeah.
He
is really, really good.
He's getting it done.
What a welcome.
And then the Hammer picks up the win. His first win of the year. Danny Snyder picked up his first win. I like the Hammer.
He
did the Pennsylvania Late Model Speed Weeks this year.
That's he ain't scared.
And they were at Port Royal, and they knew they were overpowered.
Right away.
Yeah, they knew right away we are in trouble.
Yeah,
you know, but so then we had New Egypt. Well, we had Gary Butler picked up the win over Billy Pouch, Mr. Pouch.
Yes,
that'd be Mr. Pouch Senior. And in the World of Outlaws at the Kokomo Speedway in Kokomo, Indiana, which is a great track, Tim Keating picked up the win. And then they were at Raceway 34, and Craig Delansky.
You're gonna see this name coming up a lot
in Lakeside Speedway. Craig Delansky.
Amazing.
So I had 2 in a row for the crowd pleaser.
Do you know how much he won this weekend, purse-wise? Including contingencies, $20,000. $20,400.
Not bad for 3 races.
Not bad.
You ever make that kind of money, Shuey?
No, he can buy half.
Yeah, now he can buy half.
Shuey just said he could buy half a boat.
Yeah. It is in Iowa.
New Burlington, Iowa.
West Burlington.
Yep, West Burlington, Iowa.
Was it called that?
No.
I don't know what it was called.
Was it called 34 Raceway?
Kansas?
Claiming that he's been there.
Odessa, Kansas? Odessa, Missouri?
Kansas, Lakeside.
Lakeside is Kansas City.
Yeah, City, Kansas is the byline.
And then Lincoln for Saturday. Someone said it was like 6 minutes feature.
Yeah, it was quickie.
For the Godfather.
That's
Fast
amazing.
Freddie Raymer. For a 30-lapper. See, I got the record. I seen Jeff Shepard run a 40-lapper, 8 minutes, 32 seconds, first annual Kenny Wells Memorial.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah. Now, this is what is amazing to me. It's his 168th career feature win at Lincoln alone. That is nuts.
He's the man.
Now, yeah, he can do it. He can lap the field. Now, here's something that was interesting. I heard him interviewed at lunchtime today on on MRN.
Wing Nation.
Jason has that show on a Tuesday at noontime. They interviewed him. He's not sure he's going to continue next year. He might hang it up at the end of this year. This might be the last year you see Freddie Raymer on Earth.
Wow.
Yeah, and he thinks he wants to maybe help
the boys out. The boys are racing.
Yeah.
You know? My buddy's down at his shop changing tires on a rig today.
Yeah.
Down at Freddie's shop. So, you got to give Freddie something else, man.
Yeah.
He's run like 24 or 26 races in the Northeast.
Yeah. He hasn't missed since he's come north.
Hoosier has saved his ass. He said it. Hoosier saved his ass.
It's to his liking, you know.
Yeah, Hoosier's to his liking. He didn't like the Goodyears, and he said it.
Now, Delansky was also interviewed today, and he was saying that it's the other way for him. It's a whole new learning curve with Hoosier, and
Hoosier.
That's what he attributes them starting off slow. Is getting used to Hoosiers, you know.
Really? So, and then Stuart Friesen wins at Rolling Wheels.
Where didn't Stuart Friesen win this weekend? I think he won everywhere.
Yeah, he won everywhere. Rolling Wheels. That was the Hall of Fame race for your inductees, which are Mr. Frank Cozy, Magic Shoes Mike McLaughlin, and Blackie Watt. Yeah, you remember the Z8?
I remember
the
Z8.
I raced Mike McLaughlin at the old Speed Zone.
Redmond, crazy.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. When McLaughlin ran the Nazareth Bush race. Yeah, downtown Speed Zone, 3 o'clock in the morning, we were still there. Yeah, and then you got to give a hands out to Mr. Rogers and Mr. Miller for their USAC show at Grandview on Wednesday night.
It was epic.
It was. I mean, if you weren't there, sorry.
Yeah.
Your ass missed a good one.
get Gary Silverman's productions.
Buy the tape because everything was incredible. And the modern day cowboy, Darren Clayton, picked up the win. And that's the highest I've ever seen a car go around Grandview Speedway. I don't care, sixer, anything, it's never that wide.
No. But there was guys in the bottom, in the middle, and on the top.
And Mercy had to be getting rooster-tailed.
Yeah, he had to be getting nailed.
With the dirt, man. Yeah, it was flying off that rear, man.
Yeah.
I mean, and then Brian Clausen got second, he started 13th. So don't tell me you can't pass. And Levi Jones, he had some mojo.
Yeah,
we got to meet him before the show.
Yeah, we did.
So
really, really happy to be in PA. He loves racing in PA.
Even though I love his comment, Grandview Speedway, it's a little sketchy.
It's a little sketchy.
it's a little sketchy.
But it's brown.
But it's brown. It's round, and it has a victory lane. So he has the greatest quote.
Three ingredients. That's all you need, right there. And Hunter Schoenberg came from
He wasn't what I expected to look like, Hunter, when we met him.
No.
I didn't know what I was expecting, but, man, he was like, wow. Okay.
Yeah, because he was on the show the week before, and, like,
it's different.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Huh. That dude, who the announcer for USAC, is into it.
Yeah, big time.
I like him.
Yep.
Can't come up with it.
That stumped me, yeah. I apologize for that. Yeah. And the People's Champ won at Port Royal, Dave Darlin. So that was good. And then I went out to Susky with Eric Whip on Sunday for another USAC show. And I'm telling you right now, Susky, book another day for USAC next year.
Yeah.
Because that was a good show.
And it was mobbed.
It was packed.
Yeah.
It was packed. And Shane Throttle.
Shane the Throttle. Yeah.
He won it. And he started on pole, but that kid,
Kevin Thomas.
Oh, what slide jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, the track was perfect for it.
He's got guts.
Yeah. You should be watching him going on the back straightaway and you go, okay, here it comes. You know? Just whack it in there, man.
There it goes.
Like, holy, you know, and he got him on the last lap.
Yeah.
And then Shane the Throttle just hammered it and he got the win. You know? It was they passed like three times on the last lap. Turn one and two, turn three and four, coming off of four. Like, you guys
you don't see that with a wing on.
No.
Sorry.
Yeah. I am wingless.
But Kevin Thomas Jr., what a little guy he is. Man.
He ain't even 5 foot.
It doesn't look like it, does it?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
What a
small guy. That's not about that car. That car just looks cool.
Yeah.
You know?
It looks fast.
Yeah. You know, we got to talk to Brian Clausen. He's going to come on the show before Indiana Speed Weeks.
That's right.
Yep. So
going to make that happen. Yep.
I'm trying to hook up with a modern day cowboy, too, for that show. You know? Yeah. You know,
it looks like the modern day cowboy.
Hey, I ain't got the cojones he's got though.
Yeah, they were still scraping off those off the Grand
Prix
wall.
They might have found them hanging there. You know, and Billy Pouch Senior picks up a win at Kutztown in a Speedster.
Woohoo! Yeah, well, some pretty stout competition that night.
Yeah.
Talking about Clausen, he was right there.
He's right there in second. Then KB Kenny Brightbell.
Kenny Brightbell. And now, I don't know if anybody was there, but I heard told that Kenny came out of that car. Everybody else is huffing and puffing. But Kenny came out of there like fresh as a daisy. You know, okay, let's run another 30. You know?
He started up front.
Yeah, he started up front. Yeah, he went to the rear. Yeah. And he passed everybody coming up again. And so he's working twice as hard as just about everybody. And he still was not winded, you know. He's, you know, if you ever shake hands with Kenny, if you ever get a chance, shake hands with Kenny Brightbill.
The bear.
He's a bear.
He's got bear claws.
Yeah. Bunch of bananas at the end of his wrist. I'll tell him you said that. All right, Mark. Okay, good.
How about Clausen showing up and running in a 600 micro, too?
I don't have the 600 micro results, but third?
I guess
thing.
You know, but he ran anything, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, yeah, I mean, he ran into, I mean, that's what's impressive with me. I like that kid. You know.
Now, Dale Blank won't be back in the Speedster at Kutztown this week, but Larry Wright's going to be in that Speedster. So.
And Billy Pouch Jr. is going to be in Layton's,
yeah. Yeah.
So. Because there's three races tomorrow.
There's a lot of racing going on tomorrow night.
What
do we got going? We got
Kutztown. The man coming up at 8:30, Mr. Brett Dale, with his Clash at the Can. And then 4:10s are at Bridgeport.
Yeah.
So it's a diversity, but you're asking a lot for the fans.
You're asking a lot. Let's see what come on, fans, get out there and go to support those shows, you know.
God bless you. If you ain't got a job, go. I'm going nowhere.
I got an open seat for tomorrow night if you want to go.
Might sneak in. I might try to sneak in that Kutztown show. I don't know. We'll have to see. But ARDC Midgets were also with the USAC. And Timmy Buckwater picked up the win at the Grandview Speedway.
Yes.
Which was cool. And then Bruce picked up the win at Port Royal, Bruce Buckwater. And Mr. Kobelar picked it up at Susky. And he was fast.
Was he?
Yeah. Yep. And there's a new race director in the ARDC midget division.
Really?
New race director.
Who would that be?
Apparently it's Mr. Sean Burke.
Really?
Yep. They hated him as a car owner, but they love him as a race director.
Well, they make the best time.
You know? You know, hated him as a car owner.
Right.
Love him as a race director.
Right.
So, and then we got coming up with, we ain't got enough racing already. Here comes Pennsylvania Speed Weeks.
You're going to get saturated here.
Yeah. Now, here's your, okay, you wing fans. Here's your shot. You think that on Tuesday, July 2nd, we could get a show like we had on June 5th?
We can hope for one.
We can hope for that.
But
maybe
Tuesday,
if they
July
take
2nd is going to be another Miller Rogers production.
Yep. Thunder on the Hill.
At Grandview Thunder on the Hill.
This is probably one of the best ones because you get the 410s and you get the headline wheel in NASCAR All-American Modified 358 Series. Pretty good, huh, Mark?
Okay. Yeah, that rolls off pretty naturally. Yes.
Yeah.
Let's hope some we get like 30 modifieds out there at least. That would be nice.
I would think that. And I'd like to see 28, 30 sprinters.
Oh, I put look back in the book from last year, Whip. I had that question posed to me today. How many sprinters did we get at Grandview last year for that show?
That'd be July. All right, hang on. Give me a minute.
That would have been July 3rd last year.
July 3rd last year.
If you remember, that July 3rd show
was a packed house.
Packed house.
32.
Biggest crowd ever.
We had 32 410s and 42 358 wheel and NASCAR All-American Modifieds.
I'll take it. Right there. Those numbers
are
good.
Does not lie.
Does not lie.
No.
So do I go to work on July 3rd? No, gosh.
Yeah, see, there's my dilemma. I got to work. I'll get Thursday off.
Yeah.
I ain't going to Hagerstown. Sorry, Hagerstown. But I'll have to work July 5th, so. Oh, well. Looks like I do one show. Oh, well. Better than none. You know?
So
I'll take that.
They got 9 shows.
Mm-hmm.
In 10 days.
Okay. And the Grove gets 2 of them.
And the Grove gets 2 of them.
And Sealand Grove gets screwed again with a last
Sunday,
show of
the
year.
Sunday,
they always get the last show Sunday.
Oh, Lincoln has 2 also. Right.
Oh.
They got Saturday, the 29th.
Oh, Saturday
and
Thursday.
And they get the July 4th show.
How come Sealand Grove couldn't get one of them? You know, they always get, that's the, like, you know, The end of this tour, or whoever ain't beat up or bent up shows up.
Yeah.
You know? That's pretty much how that works at Sealand Grove.
Yeah.
You know? So, but yeah, USAC. I think we should have two times a year. Because
yeah.
Susky, I don't care. Susky has a good crowd, and Grandview was a huge crowd. And the racing was good, so I think USAC should come twice a year.
I think that's a good idea. What?
I mean, if they come like end this, do the beginning of the Eastern Storm, and end it. So you can have ARDC midgets the first time, and then you can have NASCAR Wheel and All American Modified 358s after on the next night.
So in Whippy's world, that's what you would do.
That'd be perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah. And you could do a Saturday and a Sunday.
I think it's
regular
good.
Saturday night at Grandview and then USAC on Sunday.
That's a good idea. I like that idea.
I hope Mr. Miller's listening to Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
Oh, and the other thing. Seeing how he won 5 in a row.
Oh, yeah. The other good idea you had this week.
Yeah, I had another good idea. We need a bounty.
He got 2 good ideas in a week.
We need a bounty. We need a bounty on the D-Train.
D-Train
bounty.
I'm stealing
that, Mark. Yep. Yep, D&H Railroad, here he comes. Yep. So we have a trivia question in amongst this thing with Howard.
Yeah.
You want to do that, Joey?
I do, Joey. Yeah, I do.
You want to do it? You got to have the phone number because I don't have the phone number.
Okay.
All right. For ticket, number one ticket, general, is it a general admission ticket, Joe? General admission ticket on a regular Saturday night. For Grandview Speedway, the trivia question is, who besides Dwayne Howard has five wins in a row? Give us the name and the year that he did it. And there's more than one driver. There's two drivers.
What's the phone number? Whippy wants to know what the phone number is. Okay.
Yes, the call-in number is 646-649-1899. So the first caller to answer Whippy's question here will get one adult general admission ticket.
Yep.
For the Grandview Speedway.
Who has five wins in a row?
Thanks, Mark.
And the year. There's two drivers to have five in a row. You one of them, Joe? No. Were you lettering cars back in that year? No. No? How about that year?
Were you born that year, Joe?
No. I was. Yeah. So, all right. So, oh, Mr. Dale? Because he canceled his show from yesterday.
You guys need to chat a little bit because I got to get Dale on.
All right. Well, I don't want to talk. Well, Mr. Dale canceled his show for yesterday from today, right, to tomorrow.
Right. They canceled.
To the saturated ground.
They got saturated ground.
Speedway. Did it get rained on again?
No. He canceled because
of
the ground. He got a storm today.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good call, Dale. You know, dude, that's going to – maybe – I don't – that still ain't going to help the dust.
Jimmy, why don't you pick up that headset, talk with Whip a little bit here while I get Mr. Dale on.
That's
you know?
Not going to help.
There you go. Turn it around.
On the left. Other left. What's up, Tim?
Not much. How you doing?
Good. I keep seeing you at Grandview. I never see a big diamond because I can't get there because I work on Saturdays.
I don't come out of the tower anyway.
Right. How's it going up there?
Good. We could use some nice weather. So could Grandview.
Yeah.
I don't know, Mark, what do you got? We got seven in and five rainouts. I don't know. Your average is about this.
Yeah.
Terrible. Terrible weather.
How's the little Sunday gig do?
This Sunday wasn't too bad. We had our biggest car count of the year in the micros, but the slingshots are letting us down a little bit. But 600s, had them there for the first time. They got around pretty good. Had eight or nine of those. Chad Sant won. Good show. It's improving every time. A little bit of an improvement. Stick with it and see what happens. Definitely not Thursdays no more.
No more Thursdays.
Sunday dates.
You're going to go to Sunday.
Yeah, so we're talking right now what dates. We're looking at other people's schedules, what looks good, and we're going to come up with a couple more Sunday dates, I believe, and do it that way because it definitely had a better crowd and better car count. So.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, we'll run with that and see what happens.
Because, you want the crowd. You know, I mean, you got to have the crowd, you know. So, we're still rolling. So, what's coming up at Big Diamond?
Everything.
How big?
I think we have a special show just about every week for the next 6 or 7 weeks, except one.
Quit it.
This week, of course, we had the Fayish Memorial, which we'll talk about in much, much greater detail a little bit later. Week after that, another 3,000 to win race. See if CBD can make it 4 for 4. He's 3 for 3.
He's liking that.
He's liking those.
You have reached Brett Dale of Brett Dale Motorsports Media. I'm not available to answer the phone right now, but if you leave your name, a message, and your phone number, I'll get back to you as soon as possible.
Yep.
Please check our website, www.bdmotorsports.com.
Nice plug there at the end that was for Brett. Thanks, Brett. Yeah. All right, Tim. Back to Big Diamond.
Oh, so anyway, like I said, on the 21st, we have another 3,000 to win, 300 to take the green race. Then we have a week where there's actually a regular show, except the legends are there. Of course, June 30th, you just touched on, Speed Week. We have the third race out of the nine for the Speed Week, so we should have a pretty good field of cars for that.
Crap, I missed that.
Looking at some of the drivers' schedules, they put them online. Raymer will be there, DeWeese should be there, Hodnett should be there, all your big names. Have them on their schedule to be there, so that should be a pretty good show.
On June 30th?
Yep.
How the hell did I miss that?
I don't know. And, of course, the fan favorite Roadrunners, the support division for every show we have.
Yeah. Wow.
And then right after that, we followed that up that Friday with the 33rd annual Georgie Stevenson Memorial Race. That's always a must-see for most people. 3,300 to win, 330 to take the green. Fireworks. Everybody loves fireworks, right?
Yeah.
You usually put on a pretty good show up there, so that'll be a good night. July 12th, Fandemonium, free. Everybody, grandstands.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we announced that earlier in the year, but we got to keep plugging that. I would expect a couple extra people to show up for being free, I would think. That usually gets people's attention.
Something about the word free.
Yeah, yeah. So we're working on a bunch of stuff for that, too. Some giveaways, trying to have some autographs.
What's the show that the monster trucks show up? Is that the one?
No, no monster trucks.
No monster trucks this year.
That's usually in August, but we didn't do that this year. Mm-hmm. A little bit salty.
Yeah, understand. Understand 100%.
Yep, first year owners, it's a little risk. Cause last year we booked them twice and it got rained twice.
Yep. And then even if they show up, you got to pay. So that ain't no good.
I don't think it's as much, but still percentage, you know.
Yeah. Damn.
And then the week after the Fandemonium, then on, you know, that's July 12th, July 19th, we rescheduled the Crazy Eights, which got rained out Friday. Everybody was looking forward to the 4-8 lappers for the Roadrunners. That should be a little bit intense.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, I don't know if I want to be in turn one that night, man. That's the Roadrunner corner, man. You don't mess with them people up there. You know, that's Roadrunner corner.
So, yeah, a lot of stuff going on. I think that was, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 special shows in the next 7 weeks. So we're...
Man, you better talk to Mother Nature and hope she cooperates.
She better shine on us soon, I tell you.
Oh.
Well, don't we usually get a drought in July every year? So
yeah.
Knock
it gets
on wood.
Hot. It gets blazing hot. You know. Jeepers Christmas.
Well,
did you run last Friday?
No.
No, you got rained out.
I think everybody
rained.
Everybody
got rained out last Friday.
Yeah, it was all day rain. Yeah, we've lost 2 out of the last 3 weeks.
Hey, now that we had USAC, this is a question. I mean, you don't got to give, you know, you probably don't have the answer. But would Big Diamond think about doing another USAC show?
Possibly.
Yeah?
Yeah, just not this year. It just didn't make sense for us. Possibly.
Yeah.
I mean,
the crowds were tremendous.
Yeah, good crowd. A little salty.
Let's see what happens June 30th.
Yeah.
You know?
That's always a good crowd. That's always a good show.
Yeah.
And usually we get the tail end. We're kind of in the
DK
same boat.
You got a good one this year.
Yeah. We usually, like Sealands Grove, you mentioned, you get who's not beat up and getting show
beat.
Number 3. Nah, I'm hoping we get a pretty nice field of cars being show number 3 out of 9. So.
Yeah, because they'll still be running for points.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're real excited about that one. That should be a great night. Hopefully it's 80s and sunny.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll hit a home run on that one if that's the case.
That's what we want. We want everybody to come out for June 30th for Pennsylvania Speed Week. 410th. That Mark Garmin gave it the nickname. Did you name it the Mecca of Mud?
Yep,
I love it. I still call it the Mecca of Mud.
The Mecca of Mud.
The Palace of Speed.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, Mark.
That's good. Somebody did. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those were the days.
Well, I left a text for Mr. Deo. I left a voicemail for Mr. Deo. I think he's on the phone with somebody important.
Yeah, probably. Probably trying to find. I wonder if he's trying to find Danny Johnson a ride. That's right. He is. He's in Gramercy's car.
Now wait a minute. I think we got him.
Oh, we got Mr. Dale?
Oh, I think we do.
Hello,
welcome to Willow Down and Dirty.
This is Brett. I'm actually up at the Seaway, so I'm in and out of service.
Oh, that's your story and you're sticking with it, eh?
Yeah, actually, I came up to hang banners and do all that fun stuff and get ready for tomorrow, all the glamorous jobs that I have.
Yeah,
there you go.
You didn't hide the water key truck, did you?
No, yeah, I tell you what, there's been a lot of rain here today, and I'm pretty optimistic about the track conditions. I think it's going to be pretty cool tomorrow. Might be one of the faster tracks we've had.
Good. And there's a hell of a field of cars coming.
Yeah, it's a shame. You know, we started on this project in December at the banquet, trying to, you know, raise the money to come up with the purse that we're paying, and you always kind of gear up for the day that's going to happen, and then, you know, the weather strikes and you got to make those decisions, which I hate to make. And, you know, I still think we're going to have a really good Wednesday and, you know, really good field of cars. And I don't think you're going to find another third mile track in the country that pays $34,000 for 60 laps. It's pretty out of control, and you know, it's cool to have all the people that came on to help me do that.
Oh yeah, I mean this is big. I mean you put 5 Mile Point on the map a few years ago, and now you're starting to put Penn Camp back on the map.
Yeah, this is our fourth time doing this race, and you know, it's unfortunate that we've done it four times, and this will be the second time we've had to use the rain date, but that's all part of the outdoor activity deal. And you know, they had a ton of rain here today, and actually it was raining when we got here. I got here a little while ago, and you know, the track should be pretty good. I just hope that, you know, with the rain day, we can get the support and have a really good Wednesday.
I think you will. I mean, the fans are talking about it, and it's, I just think you'll do. I mean, you'll get the people that are modified fans will show up.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, this midweek stuff is. You know, you got a lot of competition once you get going here and school starts letting out. And, you know, we had a clear date, and you know, we've had the same date and rain date for the last 4 years. And it's a shame when, you know, other events come on and people add on and you kind of have to compete against each other. But I think, you know, each of us tomorrow that have a race have our own niche. And, you know, I'm pretty confident in the field that we have and the show that we'll provide. And, you know, we've got so much neat stuff going on. I mean, Racers Preferred Models up in Rochester, New York, is giving away their 118 scale cars, which are $65 values. We got Metis Fireworks to come on board and do a fireworks display for us. And we've got shirts and giveaways from Pioneer Pole Buildings. We got can koozies to give away. Just a lot of really cool stuff. And it's going to be a neat night. And I'm actually looking forward to returning to the announcer's booth myself. I'm actually going to announce tomorrow night. So it'll be the first time in a while that I've got to do that.
We'll be able to hear bumper to bumper to bumper.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Jeff Ollum usually does our announcing work for us, and Bridgeport's got their Night of Wings tomorrow, which is going to be a good show, too. I wish Keith and everybody down there the best. Oh. And, you know, he's committed to his home track, so I got thinking about it, and I decided that I was going to do it myself. So it should be fun. It's been a couple of years, but, you know, I always enjoyed announcing, so that'll be a neat deal tomorrow night.
Did you announce the Clash of the Can last year?
I did the King of the Can at the end
King
of the year.
Can, yeah.
A little bit of announcing there because I've had a commitment. So, I think it'll be fun. And I got thinking of, you know, we put together a program book that was 28 pages for this race, and I wrote every page of it. So I figured I knew everybody was coming about as good as everybody.
Yeah,
so
why not you announce it all, you know?
I figured I'd put myself back in the hot seat a little bit. But, I mean, it's going to be awesome. We've got Brad Trice coming from Maryland, Delaware International regular. I mean, just such a variety of cars. Billy Van Inwagen won the feature at Middletown on Saturday night. He's coming up. Stuart Friesen, Matt Shepard, you know, your local drivers around here, Mike Colston, who's had an awesome year going. Frank Cozy will be coming up in the Norm Hansel car. Timmy McCready. You know, the list of drivers, Doug Manmiller, Ryan Godown, Jimmy Horton, Danny Johnson will be in the Grammys car, Dale Plank will be in Danny Johnson's little car. Just so much, you know, so much talent and diversity of talent on a small track is always a really neat show.
Oh, yeah, and when they reconfigured Penn Can, when they cut that corners, it made its racing so much better.
Yeah, it's quite a bit wider now, especially off of turn two. And, you know, that really helped out because it was kind of a bottleneck there before. I think we'll see an outstanding show. I mean, we're definitely going to have a tacky racetrack tomorrow. It's pretty cool. I've actually been sending a couple pictures out to some drivers, and everybody seems pretty excited to get on the track. And, you know, I don't want to forget, you know, guys like Danny Tyler that are coming. I mean, he almost won this race. He was within 3 laps of winning this race 2 years ago. Jerry Higbee from down in the Orange County area. There's so many drivers that could win this race, and that's what I really like about it. When you get to the bigger tracks, It tends to separate the people with the different budgets. And, you know, on our track, it really groups everybody together here. And that's what I really like about it. It's really anybody's game. And, you know, we're doing a draw for position. And it's hard. It's hard to qualify. I mean, I've said that at the driver's meeting the last 2 years. The people that support this race are the racers.
Yep.
You know, we've got some high-dollar racers that choose not to come because they've come before and didn't qualify. And I stick with my belief that this is a race that anybody could win.
Well, I've been to a race that you promoted, and I've seen Brett Hearn as the feature was coming out, rolling out, out the gate.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's no secret that, you know, there's certain people that aren't coming, and, you know, most of them have been here and didn't qualify. And, you know, I'm really proud of what we have. I'm really proud that Danny Tyler could almost win this race, or I'm proud that Brett Tonkin almost won this race, you know, and And that's part of the reason why I work so hard, because, you know, when you get to a track, you know, even Grandview is a small track, but when it gets slippery like that, it really falls into the favor of the veteran drivers or the higher dollar teams. With us, with this short bull ring, I mean, it's anybody's game, and I think that's what keeps it interesting. And, you know, I think that's what's kept our car count up. I mean, we've lost a couple of the bigger names, but the weekly drivers, when a guy like Brad Trice, who's six hours away, probably six and a half in Maryland, eyes this race as the one trip he takes outside of Delaware all year, that tells you you're doing something right, Jim.
Yes. I mean, that's hands down. That's saying something about your promotion, you know. I mean, you do a hell of a
job.
Yeah,
you know, I do like that, you know. And I think this year we're pretty much offering something for everybody. You know, next week we're going to do the dirt sanction race in New Egypt, and that, you know, follows their format. I'm trying to do a little bit of everything. You know, we're going to run a Super Dirt Series race, yet we're still running the race on Syracuse weekend. And
right.
I think that, you know, that's part of our plan, is to give something for everybody. And, you know, I think that's, you know, kind of diversity is what keeps you going. And I think that's what kept the Thunder on the Hill series going for so long. If you look at, you know, what Bob's done over the years, there's so many different shows that, you know, there's always something exciting when you go back to those midweek shows. And, you know, we're trying to do something similar to that, just we're keeping with the modifieds.
Were you at the USAC show Wednesday?
I actually was up at Rolling Wheels, because we New Egypt race is the second race of the Super Dirt series. So I wanted to go up to the opener to hand out flyers.
How's the Hall of Fame? You've been in the Hall of Fame now up there. I've never been up in there.
Yeah, that was a cool experience. And I got to meet some different people that, you know, have such a cool, which I'm sure your dad, Whippy, knew a lot of those people. You know, guys like Andy Fusco and, you know, Marsha Wetmore, and people that were just such a key, you know, to the development of modified racing. And it was neat to be in the same room with them. And the reason I went is, you know, I've grown up knowing Frank Cozy. I've seen him race as a kid at Orange County, and I just thought it was so cool that he was going in, so I wanted to be up there and support him. And his induction was just a riot. I mean, he was so honest with people, and he got a good laugh at everybody. And I definitely recommend it. If you're a fan of modified racing and you have any interest in history, definitely take a trip up there. Glenn Donnelly got that museum started, and there's a group of people now on the board that keep it going, and it's phenomenal. It's just such a look into the history of dirt modified racing, not only in New York, but in our area and all around. It's really cool.
And a flashback, man. I'll probably go back up there and have flashbacks.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, even some of the older cars that are there, you know, from Pat Ward's early days and Jumpin' Jack Johnson, and, you know, you go through Charlie Jazombak. I mean, it's just a phenomenal glimpse into the history of our sport. And, you know, I was so glad that I went and checked all that out. It's the first time that I've been to a Hall of Fame induction, and I'll definitely go back. It was really, really cool to hear from some different people. And, you know, I actually got the chance to meet Mike McLaughlin there. He was getting inducted. He actually told me some stories about racing at Thunder Mountain just outside of Binghamton. And, you know, it was so cool to talk with those people.
Now, what's up with Weedsport? Is it just closed, or what's going on? You heard anything?
There will definitely be racing at Weedsport this year. Al Hanke, who's a part owner of the Hanke Baldwin Racing that Jimmy Phelps drives for, has actually purchased the property, and he'll be doing some major upgrades to Weedsport, and he'll be opening it later this year. He doesn't plan to do any regular racing this year. They're planning some major facility renovations, but they'll be doing some semi-regular racing next year from the way it sounds.
Well, that's cool, because, I mean, Weedsport is like, it's like the track that dirt started at.
Yeah, it's a great track. It's a short track, high-banked. It reminds me a lot of Grandview. You know, slippery side-by-side, cool, you know, guys coming from the back like we have, you know, we're fortunate to have at Grandview. And it's just such a neat little track, so I think that you know, it'll do well with Al, and he's such a perfectionist. When you look at the 98H truck, trailer, and car when it comes to any race, you can just see how much of a perfectionist he is. So I think the track will be phenomenal once it's done.
Yeah. Hey, I got a question for you about Grandview, about this five in a row thing. You think we should put a bounty out on that guy?
I'll tell you what. Everybody's got their theory, but the guy is just hands down unbelievable. To come from 16th every week like he does, you know, he gets through the heats without any trouble. He can go, I mean, I was at Virginia Motor Speedway when he got second at Matt Shepard, almost won the Super Dirt Series race. Obviously, he won our races at Pencan and 5 Mile. The guys won at Bridgeport, Delaware. You go down the list, I mean, it's phenomenal what he's done. And I think right now that, you know, he's the sharpest. I think Craig Van Doren's probably as quick as him. But Dwayne's just getting through traffic so much better. And I mean, who would think with 40 cars every week and all the anything that can happen at Grandview that somebody would be able to win five in a row?
Absolutely. You know.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. It's a big credit to Dwayne and to that whole team. And, you know, he had some luck Saturday, definitely. But you still have to be fast and get through, and he does the same.
Yeah.
Okay, Brett. We're going to have to take a break here.
And okay.
So we wish you well on both of your shows coming up, and much success there.
Thank you, and sorry for missing you there. We're Susquehanna, PA is not the hotbed for cell phone service, so I apologize.
what is
the hotbed for racing, though?
I was going to say.
Yeah, we'll be tomorrow night, but it's a little light on the service. So
yeah.
I'll catch up with you guys and hopefully see a lot of people here tomorrow.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Mr. Brett Dale, coming out of the box with a big show tomorrow.
Yeah.
I hope he does well.
Good purse.
Killer purse. You ever been to the can?
No, I've never been to
that's
the
a
can.
Little bull ring. It's a good track.
Yeah. We got to get up there.
I'm looking forward to his I-88 show. You ever been there?
I've been there years ago. You know?
Yeah, that's a neat little bull ring up there.
Yeah.
So.
I like that. So, yeah, I can't. I mean, I work too hard during the week. I can't go to them week shows no more.
All right. We're going to take a break here, and we're going to try to get Andrew and Charles Ahash on the phone.
Right.
And then we'll turn this part of the show over to Tim Long and have those guys talk about the Andy Fayas Jr. Memorial that's coming up at Big Diamond this Friday. So hang in with us while we sell you some product, and we'll be right back.
Diamond Disposal offers a wide variety of disposal services, including residential and commercial weekly service, roll-off dumpster service, competitive pricing, and special contracting rates. Diamond Disposal serves the Berks County and surrounding areas. For competitive rates and prompt, friendly service, please give Diamond Disposal a call at 610-845-1117. Or visit them on the web at www.DiamondDisposalLLC.com. For all of our loyal listeners here at Lowdown and Dirty, Diamond Disposal has been kind enough to offer a one-month free trash removal if you sign on with Diamond Disposal and mention that you heard about this promotion right here on Lowdown and Dirty. So give the fine folks at Diamond Disposal a call and see what kind of savings they have for you. And remember, don't let your cash go out with the trash. Call Diamond Disposal, 610-845-1117.
Hello.
All right, we're back. Caught me off guard, Captain.
Sorry about that.
Got some serious echoing. But yeah, hey, we're back.
That's
Low Down
new.
And Dirty. It's that over there.
Yo, can you close that one up, see if we can get it?
That's better.
Oh, all right. We'll diagnose it, you know.
I can hear you rolling across the floor.
We got Tim Long on the line now. Why don't you introduce who you got on the telephone with us?
Okay, well, if everything's working here correctly, I believe we have Andrew Fash III and Charles Fash. Are you guys with us?
Yes.
Yep. What's up?
Well, welcome, guys. Glad to have you on the show. And Whip and Scott, feel free to throw in some questions, too. I'm new at the question and answer session here. Obviously, we have you gentlemen on this Friday, a real important event at Big Diamond Speedway, at least to those of us that consider Big Diamond our home track, and we're one big family up there. We have the Andy Fayes Jr. Memorial Race for the Sportsman Division. 45 laps, because that was one of his car numbers. We're paying $1,570 to win, $157 to take the green, also
wow.
because of his car number 157. Great field of sportsmen lined up. I'm going to go out on a limb and predict 40.
Really?
Yeah. Had some good...
That's good money for sportsmen, ain't it?
Yeah, very good money for the sportsmen, and also... To date, I added it up before I came down here tonight, and in lap money and extra awards and stuff for different finishing positions, we have $1,282 in bonus money on top of the regular purse. So this is going to be a great show for these guys in memory of probably one of the most popular, helpful competitors and nicest guys in the history of the racetrack.
Now, which one, Andrew or Charlie drives it?
Well, they both drive. Both. Andrew started the year in the Roadrunners. Now, Andrew, correct me if I'm wrong, you're going to be in a Sportsman this week, correct?
Yes, this is the second time I'm going to be driving a Sportsman.
Wow.
And Charles has been a full-time competitor with us this year, and he's also run Sportsman a couple other years also. So both these gentlemen will be running in this race in memory of their father/brother this week.
So Andrew, what's the difference between a Roadrunner, and do you find a lot of difference between that and the street and the Sportsman?
There's a lot less time to think about anything. it's also everything's a lot more sensitive. Like you know, the steering, the throttle, everything's just way more sensitive. But I've only driven it once, and I kept describing everybody because there really is no way to explain it to somebody without just having them do it. But the best way I could explain it is driving a Sportsman feels like you're trying to manually steer a roller coaster. I mean, that's about the best explanation I had.
I like that. Now, did Charlie help you out with any setup or anything?
Charlie's still learning. No offense to him. He offered as much help as he could, but the main help was Dave Dissinger and Jason Eilinger and stuff. Dave's providing the car. You know, and he gave me a lot of advice right before going out with it and, you know, just told me to have fun, no worries if anything happens.
Oh,
we hear Dave's name come up a lot of times about helping different racers. He must be an all right guy. I never met him, but he helps out a lot of racers.
Yeah, Dave's one of the nicest guys you can meet. My dad actually, his last race was driving for Dave over at Bridgeport, and actually it was his first time ever at Bridgeport, and I believe, if I remember right, he started 22nd in the feature, finished 8th his first time over there, and that's the same car that I'm going to be driving this week.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
Isn't that cool? That's cool. Wow. So, Charlie, how many years have you been racing this Sportsman?
This is my first year racing a Sportsman. I ran 3 races, I believe, last year, and I'm a rookie this year, so I'm learning
okay.
a lot. A
That's
lot
my
work.
Fault. I thought he ran full last year. My bad.
No.
So how you liking this Sportsman division, Charlie, up at Big Diamond?
Well, everybody thinks it's really easy just to get in the car and drive, but it's really not. I mean, there's a lot to learn, and it's just so much to learn. I mean, Andrew has a little advantage over me because he ran the Roadrunner, but it's probably not a lot, but still. still experience helps being on a dirt track. This is my first ever, you know, really full year trying to race.
No, Charlie, you're telling me you've never driven nothing before?
No, I never drove anything before.
You went right to a sportsman.
Yep.
God bless you.
Now, Charlie, you helped out Andy on his racing over the years?
Yeah, I've been going to the races since I was probably 11, 12.
Uh-huh.
I've always been helping somebody. If it wasn't my brother Andy, it was Whit Moyer or Dave Dissinger or anybody that I could help.
All right.
That's
great. That's
cool.
I'm looking for. I hope you get 40 cars.
Yeah, I think we will. Like I said, I walked around Grandview. I asked Tina Rogers if I could go around after the races and hand out flyers and talk to some guys. And I think I got about 10 guys that don't normally run Diamond that gave me like 100% or 90%. I'll be there because Grandview doesn't have sportsmen this week because the URCs are down there. Mm-hmm. And we have about 22 regulars ourselves, so throw in 10 more.
Yeah.
We have some guys. You know, we have a rule up there at Diamond, you can't run modifieds and sportsmen the same week.
Right.
But if you want to drop down to the sportsman, you can. You got to leave your modified at home. And Craig Whitmoyer is doing that this week. And Kyle Weiss is going to be in a John Kovach car. So we have those two gentlemen running it. And John Kovach is supposed
to
be there.
Yeah, so Kovach's going to show up too because he never races up there.
And actually, the one that surprised me, I got a message from a gentleman that usually runs Accord. Gary Predmore. Don't know him. Never saw him
run. He's coming.
He says he's going to come down. He's skipping Accord, and he's going to come down and run this race. So
nice.
We actually have a New York invader.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Have any of you guys, either one of you, Andrew or Charlie, ever ran 45 laps at Big Diamond?
No.
I tried a 50-lapper last year, but I got knocked out early.
Uh-huh. So this will be like the long-distance race of your career.
Yep.
Yeah.
So far.
I'm looking forward to it.
Good.
Yeah, so am I.
Good. Well, I hope it goes well for you, too, because, I mean, you know, this rookie, that's awesome. I can't believe coming from a roadrunner, man. That blows my mind. Where do you guys find these bodies for these roadrunners?
Well, normally it's just junkyard parts, but this year we actually, well, the car I did have, we had a body fabricated for us and pretty much put on kind of like a sportsman one. You know, you got your Zeus buttons and stuff, and just have it so it's easy to take off and on the wash and stuff.
So where's your car now, Andrew? Did you sell your Roadrunner?
That's a long story.
Yeah,
we don't want to
get into.
Okay, never mind.
But I do have Jason Eilinger is going to let me drive his old Roadrunner, what used to be the big one at Big Diamond, and you know, we're getting, well, he's getting that ready for me, and I should be in that. Hopefully starting next week, but, you know, we're kind of playing things by ear from here on out.
Right. Well, I mean, if you do good in the sportsman, why do you want to go back to a Roadrunner, right?
Because I can't afford the Roadrunner.
Knew that was coming, didn't you?
That one was coming.
Hey, the question for you, Andrew. I saw this. I don't know where it was on your Facebook page or something. I'm just curious if it's true or not, since you say about affording it and what you do for a living. Is it true you're a table dealer at one of the casinos? Did I see that correctly?
Yes, I work at the Mohican Sun on grave shift, which you'll probably never see me unless you're up really early in the morning or up really late at night. The shift is like 3 to 11 in the morning. But it's the only shift that I could race on a Friday night without having to have Fridays off or Saturdays off at the casino, which is, anyone who works in the casino business knows it's really hard to get Fridays or Saturdays off. So
you're leaving the racetrack and going to work.
I've been able to find part-timers. A lot of the people that work there are really cool about it. They'll pick up my Saturday, and you know, maybe I could switch it around so I still work 5 days and stuff. But worst case scenario, I got to leave the track and go right to work.
Wow. That makes for a long day. It seems like that would be a cool job, but maybe when you do it for a living, it's not that cool. I don't know. I just don't know any other table.
It's got its perks, just like any other job. It's definitely the best job you could get without going to college. I just made the mistake of going to college first.
Nice.
That's good. I like that. I just went to college first.
So why don't you guys chime in and talk about Andy a little bit here. Give us an idea, and the fans listening in, what kind of guy he was, and why are we running this race on Friday?
Well, from the track's point of view, and I'll let these two gentlemen chime in then, because they, you know, they've known him their whole life, obviously. I've known Andy for 3 years. I've been going there since the first year that Andy raced. I've been going to Big Diamond for 30 years, and you talk to anybody that met him 30 years ago, you meet... talked to anybody that met him 3 months ago. He was a popular guy. You know, you use the cliche, give somebody a shirt off their back. That was Andy. Yep. Talk to any competitor, and that was him. I mean, some of the people I've been soliciting to come to this race, every one of them had the same story. The first time I ever came to Big Diamond to race, the first person to come over to my trailer and welcome me was Andy. That's the kind of guy he was. I haven't talked to anybody that did not like this gentleman. He was an icon up there. All the workers liked him. The fans liked him. And when this unfortunate incident happened, you know, we talked 24 hours later and said, we have to do something for this gentleman. He was
great.
Such a staple at that racetrack.
Wow.
I mean, that's me speaking from the track's point of view. That's really all I can tell you. I mean, as an employee, I've only been there 3 years. But there was not a single night that gentleman did not walk in the track and made it the point to beeline over to me, shake my hand, say hello, pat me in the back, and then head down to his pit. Always made it a point to say hello. And those kind of people are few and far between in today's world.
That's great. I mean, that's a great testimonial to Andy. And Charles and Andrew, you want to add on?
Chuck, you go first, if you want.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I've been helping Andy for years in the pits and stuff, and there's times people come up and ask for something, and if he don't have it, he looks to find somewhere, helps them out. You know, he was the type that would help in the heat. Like Tim said, take the shirt off his back and give it to somebody if he really had to. I mean, it was just amazing that so many people that he helped and so many people knew him. And if he didn't help them, he talked to them and tried to help them with setups and things like that. And if someone lost their car and they're running for points, last year at Grandview, forget his name, but he drives a B4 down there, and
Kyle Orr.
Cool.
Yeah,
Kyle Orr, and he said to him, "Hey, I went after him with the car this past year," and he asked me, "Charlie, you mind if you drive this?" I said, "Go right ahead," you know. And he left me as that type. If you know, he just got out of the car and let him in it, you know. And that's just how Andy was. Help you out any way he could, you know. And outside of racing, I mean, he loved his hunting and all that, and trapping, and I mean, he was a big outdoorsman and all that other stuff, you know. And there's so much more to say. I mean, go ahead, Andrew, you could chime in there.
Yeah, I mean, you guys said it really well, both of you.
Yeah.
I mean, he's... You took my story. I was going to say about loaning the car last year down at Grandview, but I mean that's how he is at the track. That's how he is outside of the track. He always would, you know, help anybody. If you needed a hand with something, you know, he would help you out. And I don't know. I'm drawing a blank, honestly, a little bit as far as specific stories.
Often when you treat people like that, it comes back to you in spades, as they say. And I'm sure he was given a helping hand often, also.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Dave let him drive the 88X, you know, numerous times. Actually, when he started in Sportsman, his first year, Dave let him drive the 97 back in, I think that was 2001, and. You know, my dad bought the car off him at the end of the season, but he left him run, you know, a bunch of the shows throughout the season with it. And, you know, it's a give and take thing. It's a lot about the community itself that you guys are putting on this event, and, you know, how many people are coming out, even ones that are missing their regular show for it. But that, I think that just reflects on both, not only how my dad was, but how everybody is in the community. And I can't, I can't thank everybody enough for being as supportive as they are.
Yeah, I can't either. That's awesome, all the support you guys are giving us. And
yeah, it's got to make your family feel. It's got to make your family feel really great to see all the support and outpouring of support by the racing community. And what does it mean to your family, really? I mean, have you talked about it a lot?
We actually got some shirts made up and stuff, and other things, and it's just, of course, my mom don't want to come, but that's my mom. She's always worrying about somebody, but we're trying to get the whole family there this Friday and get them a spot to watch and hopefully enjoy, because my dad raced for years at Shanetown, and I don't know if I think he ran the Diamond a few times.
Yeah,
but
he did.
I was back in, the 70s, I guess. That was before my time. My dad ran, and then Andy carried over, and then my brother Randy raced a little bit, and then now me and Andrew, and it's just every generation, it just seems like once you get it in your blood or you get the, once you get in the car, you don't want to get out, no matter how much it costs or, how little it is. But it's just awesome, just all the support. Go ahead, Andrew.
I actually have two little fun stories. One of them being my dad's car number. A lot of people don't know it, but I think this shows how much of a family man he was. The car number 157, when he started racing, that number represented the family. The one was my sister Tara. The five was the month that my dad was born, and the seven was the month that my mom was born. And so the number was made up of the months they were born. And that was, when he started racing, it was the three of them. That was his family. So, he kept the number over the years because it stuck. Another little fun story, when he switched to the 45X, what he told me, now the 45X is my grandfather's number, well, one of them, that he ran way back when, and and my dad switched that number. He said he was switching that number to honor his dad for what was supposed to be his last season of racing. Now, I don't know if you guys know, but that was I want to say that was like 2008 maybe when he switched that number.
No, so that didn't pan out. He ran three more years.
He ran quite a few more years after that. But, that's just, you guys know as much as we do. That's what racing will do to you.
Ken, I got a call just to add to some of the things going. Like you gentlemen mentioned, I did get an email, correct me if I'm wrong here with names, Andrew. Your sister is Tiffany? Is that correct?
Tiffany and Tara.
All right. Tiffany contacted me. I know all the children will be there this week. At the show, they're definitely going to come. I got a call from a gentleman today that said, I don't remember the name, but he said he was your father's best friend, and they're bringing some sort of pickup truck that's going to be lettered with some 157 on it and some other Fayish Memorial stuff, and that pickup truck is going to lead the field as the pace vehicle for the 45-lap event. So you probably know more about this pickup truck than I do. I don't know the story behind the pickup.
That'd be Tommy Trovinger. I don't know the story behind the pickup either. I just, maybe Chuck does, but I know he's excited about that. I just read it on Facebook myself maybe about an hour ago.
Okay.
Yeah, the truck was, Andy and Tommy would go hunting all the time up the Maine and everything, and they camouflaged it, and that was something they both did together. And I believe that's why the truck he wants the truck in there.
Oh, so this was that truck that they had all these good times in, so now they're going to put some of your dad's numbers on there, your brother's numbers, and that thing will pace the field for the event. So that'll be kind of neat.
That's a nice scratch.
And he did mention, too, that there's going to be some American flags hanging off the back, because anybody that remembers Andy, he always had the two American flags hanging off the back of the car. The truck will have that on also. So that'll probably get the crowd will get a charge out of that. That'll be pretty neat to see that pace in the field for the sportsman event.
Yeah, and the American flag thing, the week immediately after, the Renningers got a bunch of American flags and we're giving them out in the pits, and literally every car, you know, that
had
was there that night had the American flags off the back, and I mean that was such a cool sight and such a cool thing to do in his memory.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty neat. Do you know, I didn't get to talk to anybody. Do you know if they're planning on doing that this week again? I think that would be neat if everybody in the sportsman class
would
do that.
Yeah, that'd be
that.
Cool.
Oh, that'd be great.
I'd imagine. So, I mean, I don't know if you guys noticed, but you did schedule it on Flag Day. So.
No, just yet. Hey, wow, hey, good for us.
Tim had it planned that way.
Yeah,
Big Diamond had it planned that way.
I didn't even know there was a Flag Day. I can't take credit for that. Yeah, we definitely got to do that then. Maybe I'll have to make a phone call or two here and see if we can repeat, not for every division, but for Friday night, I think definitely the sportsmen should all be sporting those flags proudly on the back of the cars. I think that would be wonderful.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
I do want to mention one other thing before I forget, because Jason will be mad at me if I forget. You can check on Facebook, either look me up or Jason Eilinger. He put up a trivia question. I believe he's going to do another one. A trivia question regarding my dad, and I'm not going to read the question. You can find it on Facebook if you want. He's giving away two free general admission tickets for this Friday night, drawing randomly from the people who guess the question correctly.
Uh-huh.
So check my Facebook or his Facebook and comment with your answer. And he wanted me to mention that while I was on.
Okay, yeah, definitely have people look that up. I saw that today. I saw the question. I won't repeat it. We'll let the people go on and see it. But it's a neat little question, and it has to do with Andy's career in racing. So any historians out there that have gone to Big Diamond for 30 years will know the answer without too much trouble. Any newbies might have some issues. They'll have to lean on their buddies. And when all else fails, call Gary Lillick, Big Diamond historian.
Is that the Diamond Dog?
No, Gary Lillick is, I don't know, he had a fan page for a long time. He announces the Enduro. You want to know any history about that track, that's the guy. He can probably give you the top five from any race in any year in the last 35 years.
Wow.
All right. Guys, we're going to take a commercial break right here. And we're going to try to bring Craig Whitmore in. And if I'm not successful, I apologize beforehand. But Andrew and Charles, you're welcome to hang on the line. We hope you do. All right. And we'll try to get Craig in here as soon as possible. Okay.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Hang in there, guys.
Cajun's Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best, each and every time. Cajun's uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes. Cajun's Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Cajun's Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at www.cajunscandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at facebook.com/Cajun's Candle. Diamond Disposal offers a wide variety of disposal services, including residential and commercial weekly service, roll-off dumpster service, competitive pricing, and special contracting rates. Diamond Disposal serves the Berks County and surrounding areas. For competitive rates and prompt friendly service, please give Diamond Disposal a call at 610-845-1117
or visit them on the web at www.DiamondDisposalLLC.com. For all of our loyal listeners here at Lowdown and Dirty, Diamond Disposal has been kind enough to offer a one-month free trash removal if you sign on with Diamond Disposal and mention that you heard about this promotion right here on Lowdown and Dirty. So give the fine folks at Diamond Disposal a call and see what kind of savings they have for you. And remember, don't let your cash go out with the trash. Call Diamond Disposal, 610-845-1117.
Back.
Okay, we're back.
We're back. Hey, we're trying to give away this trivia ticket. Two tickets to Gravity Speedway for a regular Saturday night show. Well, one, but there's two tickets.
Yeah.
So here's the
first ticket. Here's the
first ticket. Give us the name of either driver that has won five features in a row, and it ain't Dwayne Howard.
There's two others.
There's two others. And if you can, phone number.
646-649-1899. Again, 646-649-1899, and it's also on the Facebook page and on South Jersey. So if you can't understand me, just go to those web pages and you'll find it. Is Joe?
It's Joe.
Hey, I'm back for a second.
It's just Steve. Now Steve is here. What's happening, guys?
Hey, listen, this whole Grandview thing, right? The reason why Grandview was giving these two tickets away, I don't know if you guys touched upon it. I've been kind of mulling around here. We hit the 2,500 like mark last week, and we'd like to thank everybody that has gone to the Grandview Speedway Incorporated page and liked the page. So this is a little thank you. Grandview, really appreciate you guys stopping over, liking the page, getting involved with everything. You guys, fans are doing a great, great job with tagging yourselves on all the photos for the fan cam. Everything is working out great. So as a thank you to you guys for stopping over and liking the Grandview Speedway Incorporated page, they're giving away two free tickets. Do you guys think this trivia question is too hard?
It must be because I'm not getting anybody to call in here. Come on, fans. You know the answer.
You gotta be kidding me. Nobody knows this?
Maybe we're too old. Maybe
we
know all this stuff because we're old.
Maybe you need to give a hint to this. To the first one.
We can give a hint. Who is it?
No.
He's the Godfather.
Okay, that's good enough.
That's legit.
That's good enough.
The Godfather.
Dude, we're talking about the Godfather.
And you people disappoint me.
For tickets. Come on now.
For a ticket.
All right, don't be hating now.
Don't be hating.
All right. Well, we'd like to welcome Craig Wetmore in with us tonight. How you doing, Craig?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
Great. Thanks for being on with us. And, of course, we're talking about one of your fellow racers here in the Andy Fayes Junior Memorial Race at Big Diamond this Friday. So we were wondering if you got any good stories about Andy here. You've raced with him. You raced with him a lot of years. Is that right?
Yeah, I raced with him a lot of years, and he used to family used to come with a lot and help us out.
Yeah, that seems like to be the common theme. He helped out a lot of guys over the years.
Did we lose him?
No, we still have him. I think we did. There, Craig, right?
Uh-oh.
Maybe we did lose him.
Hello? Mr. Craig Whitmore, are you there? Come in. All right, I guess we lost him. You call him back? I can't believe these people don't know this trivia question.
We might have just had somebody, and I missed them on the board here. You know, it's talking, you know, but...
The year's tough.
You're
right. We won't go for the year.
We did lose Craig for some reason. All right. But I'll try to get him back. You guys,
all right, you get him back.
Go ahead.
All right, we're going to go for this question one more time. We want a name. Just a name. We don't need the year. Just give us the name of one of the two drivers.
Does somebody call?
This is ridiculous.
You just have to love cell phones, don't you?
Oh, yeah, how about it? Well, we talked to Brett Dale earlier, and his service sucked. So, yeah. I mean, I have to ask people phone numbers because I don't know them. So, you two guys are going to Big Diamond on Dump. Do you guys, like, work on the cars together, or do you guys, you know, how does that work?
When we raced at Big Diamond, I mean, he pretty much worked on his stuff, and I worked on my own. Sometimes I helped him out. But, like, when we went to New York to race, he went with the Mocatech, Bridgeport. A lot of them races he came with and gave us a hand.
You guys raced Mocatech?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you like
Yeah, that Mocatech? Was great.
Did you enjoy
Yeah, that place
Mocatech?
Was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked that place a lot. We used to always go up there, you know, just to have fun. Nobody got mad at nobody. You know, just go up and have a good time.
That was a little different up there at Mocatech.
Yeah.
Things were a little different up there. Well.
Yeah.
I mean, did you ever go up to, like, 5 Mile Point?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I ran 5 Mile Point, Pen Can.
Okay.
Utica Rome, 5 Mile, Utica Rome. We were at Canandaigua once.
Huh. Wow, so you've done quite a few New York tracks.
Yeah, when the 1 year we ran pretty many of the rock shows.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. And he came with for a lot of that stuff.
Do we have Mr. Craig Whitmire back?
Craig should be in there, right, Craig?
Yeah, that's who's been talking.
I'm here.
Yeah, that's who's been talking. Yeah.
Well, I want to know who came up with this paint scheme for this car this year.
I did.
That's wild paint scheme on that car.
It's very distinctive.
Yeah, I cried.
No.
Everybody was getting tired of my white and fluorescent orange or fluorescent red, so I came up with something different.
Wow, that's great.
It's different. I mean, it stands out, man. Under the lights on at Grandview for sure. No.
I like how it turned out.
Yeah. I think it's good. Now, how do you go from, like, the difference to make the modified into a sportsman for Friday night?
Well, I think you have two different cars, right, Craig?
Yeah. I'm bringing my sportsman car from Grandview.
Yeah. He's going to bring the sportsman up for this show. We're, like I mentioned earlier, we're allowing modified guys to drive this race. You just can't run modified this night. And this is one that Craig and I believe Kyle Weiss is coming to it, too. They just want to run this show in memory of Andy. And, you know, it's not a bad chunk of change like we talked about earlier. $1,570, I think you'd have to get – that's better than second in the modifieds, I believe. So if somebody like Craig can pick this off with lap money and everything, you can definitely go home with two G's in your pocket for sure.
Now, Tim, this is a question for you. Where's the extra money that's being put up for this come from? Does it come from lap money, fan donations?
Well, it's a combination of both. We have a ton of, well, not a ton, but lap money from fans, track workers, some other race team sponsors, and then some of it's on finishing positions also. Like, I won't go over the dollar amounts, but I got bonus money for 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 7th, 10th, 11th, and 15th, and 17th. So that's 8 positions that will get more than the posted purse money for where they finish. So that's pretty good. And then we had a couple people step up, like the Durfler race team, which I believe Jared runs for. They gave $100 to lead lap 16.
That's
and then
cool.
Kent Tires stepped up to the plate. They gave $100 for the halfway point, lap 23.
That's great that people are chipping
in. Some of these laps are huge. I think we have $200 laps. We have a $70 lap. I think we have 3 or 4 $35 laps. Maybe 6 or 7 $20 laps. So lap money for this is pretty good.
You know, as we're talking here, Joe is scarfing money
squeezing
off.
Money us. Out of us.
Money out of us to sponsor a lap. What's up with that? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So even LD&D, I guess,
man.
Get a lap.
That's the businessman in him.
The businessman in him, yeah.
Yeah, pony up.
Or else he's going to beat us, you know?
That's right. Yep.
All right. Well, I got to get my wallet. Oh, what's that? A moth? Yep.
Now, Craig, do you how are you liking Big Diamond this year?
I always like running Big Diamond.
Okay.
Wish I had a better car. I've been struggling with that car I have up there.
Oh, how you? What do you mean by struggling?
I can't get it to work. That's a different. That's a TO that I bought from Paul Klein, not the canals that I usually run. And I just been struggling getting it to feel comfortable for myself.
Now you picked off a top 10 the last time we ran, though, correct? Weren't you like 8th or something? I believe that your best run of the year.
Yeah, I survived to 8th place is how I put it when I got out of the car.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I just when you don't feel comfortable in a car, it's hard to it's hard to really, you know, to really run it the way you should, and I just can't get it that it feels good. I mean, my car Saturday night, we got real good. The car I let my brother run, that thing is, I get angry every week. I watch that thing go around the track, and it just works, and I'm out there struggling.
Well, you look like you went forward this week at Grandview.
Oh, yeah, Grandview, yeah, with the sportsman car. We're decent with that. This was about the best week we had with it. It's a different Bicknell than we had, and we just need to learn it.
Yeah.
Now, are you finding this sportsman division is no longer like an up-and-coming division? It's like a division of its own?
Yeah, I don't. I guess I'm one of the ones that's been getting yelled at forever to move up, you know, because it's a beginner division, and I don't believe it was a beginner division for quite a while.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's, you know,
I think it's
a division for people that actually have to, you know, that don't have a business to, you know, I don't know, piggyback it off of. I mean, it makes a big difference when you got to, I don't want to say everybody earns their money, and I don't mean it rudely, but you got to go to work and pay your bills. I mean, you only got so much money to play with, no matter how much you want to play. I think that's what the sportsman division is now, guys that are, you know, really like the race and want to be competitive, but, you know, just don't have the funds to race modifies.
Right. And I think you see that in other divisions, too. I mean, look, the sprinters years ago started the 358 sprints as a move-up class, and now you have guys like Jeff Rohrbaugh, Nicky Young,
Pat Cannon.
Like you say, Craig, they can't afford to move up to the 410s, so they race in that because that's what they can afford, and you see that happening in the sportsmen with guys like Ryan Belts, Dean Bachman, Kenny Gilmore. You know, even yourself, probably Brad Brightbill might fall into that category. It's become an amazing second division for any track to have, really. It's almost like you have two main divisions at a track when you get there now.
Yeah, I'll put it out there. I'll run it modified tomorrow and park my stuff. I don't want to be racing sportsmen. I'd love to move up, but I got to be able to pay for it, too.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if anybody wants to put their name on the side of a car...
Yeah.
How about helping out Mr. Craig Whitmore?
Or if you have a spare ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, help the man out. You know. What does Craig do for a living? What do you do for a living?
I'm a manager at Green Acres Outdoor Living. I handle all the dispatch. I schedule all the trucks for the deliveries, and we deliver oil and stuff like that. Oil, sheds, gazebos, furniture.
Yeah. Do they work with you for your racing schedule? You know, like if you need some time off, are they cool employees?
Yeah, they're great people. they're great people. I, you know, told them when I first started that I raced, and you know, when you first started a place, you got to work what you got to work. And you know, once we learned each other, yeah, they, you know, I got it real good where I'm at. I can, you know, I can pretty much, you know, do what I need to do and get my work done. And then if I want to go racing, I can go racing.
Well, that's cool. That's a good gig.
I think a lot of us fall into that category. I know when I got my most recent job 7 years ago, and Andrew, you mentioned about your casino job. Craig, you just made that comment. Us race fans, we go into a job interview. We don't care what it pays. I need this night off because I'm racing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I have Friday and Saturday?
That's part of the addiction.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, we have.
Can you pay me triple? And can I work?
Yeah.
Can I work Monday and Wednesday?
Hey, Whip, we got a caller on the line that wants to give a try at the trivia questions.
Absolutely.
So,
let's
bring Jen on in here and see what she's got. Jen?
Hello.
How you doing tonight?
Okay, here's my guess. Do I get to try for both?
Well, we'll give you one ticket if you get one
okay.
right.
We're going to go with Framer.
Wow. What's his first name?
Fred.
All right.
What's his nickname?
That's Freddy.
Yeah. What's his nickname?
He's Fast got two.
Freddy?
He's got a lot of them. Fast Freddy, the Grey Ghost, the Godfather. He's got a lot. But, yes, you are correct on the Fast Freddy Raymer. Do you know the year?
No, I don't know.
It was 1981.
All the way back in
81. That was the year before I was born. Sorry.
Wow.
Oh.
Well, all right. So you probably wouldn't have remembered that then. You know?
I said a youngster wouldn't win either of these. I was wrong.
Yeah. Well, why don't you hang on the line and Scott will hook up with your information and I don't know how we doing these tickets. Pick them up at the will call window or what? Do you go to Grandview a lot?
Oops, I got her in the
All right. Go ahead.
No, yeah. Go ahead.
Is she there?
Go ahead.
Hey, Jen, do you go to Grandview a lot?
Not since I've had my son, not as much, but I used to go regularly, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for listening.
Yep, thanks for having me on.
Okay. You got her, Captain?
I got her.
All right. Hey, Craig, would you ever interested in strapping into one of them beasts of a sprint car or a midget?
In a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat.
I'll drive anything, any day, at least once.
No kidding.
Well, probably twice.
Uh-huh. Ever try a late model?
No. No, I ran Roadrunners, Street Stocks, go-karts, Micro Sprint.
Oh, really? You ran a
Micro Sprint?
Yeah.
I ran a at Linda's.
At Linda's? A 270 or a 600?
A 270.
270? All that shifting, though, man, that ain't that much. I don't know if I'd want to take my hand off the wheel.
Craig, I only drive one-handed. I'm good.
Yeah, I wasn't going there, Craig.
That's all right.
Yeah, but now here's the. Okay, see how you brought this up. How long have you had that? You know that the prosthetic.
Since I was 17, so it'd
really?
Be about 20 years now. Yeah.
With it ever? You've always raced with that.
Yep.
That's you know what I mean. Hands. I mean that's cool.
I might actually be good if I had two hands.
Right there, no.
I don't know.
No, you're good, dude. You're good, dude. You're good. You know. Well,
Craig,
you don't. I mean, after that injury, you didn't consider that as a. You know, I'm going racing, man.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I helped Kyle Weiss, before I lost my hand, and I helped him after it. My stepdad had a car at Diamond, but. Yeah, it was what it was. You just got to move on.
That's a great attitude, you know. Yeah. So now what's your plans? What do you want, like a goal for 2013, Craig?
We'll see if we can run good enough to win the points championship down there at Grandview. If we can give Jared a run for his money, at least. Last year we were doing decent there in the beginning, and we fell short at the end.
Right.
See if we can finish strong, get this car figured out.
What is it with him, with Jarrett and the Umpenhauer and the Bright Belt cars? They sound like their motors are like screaming.
I don't know.
I mean, than
mine.
Yeah, I listen in the grandstands and it's like Jesus, listen to that thing. You know.
Yeah. On Jarrett's car, I know he has them new style headers, them upswept headers, and that gives it a different sound. There's not hardly any cars that even have them in.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. I think Brad's is, maybe because it's a Ford, maybe his mufflers are, older. I don't really know.
Uh-huh. What kind of motor you got?
A Chevy.
A Chevy? Who
Pete
builds
Teasdale your
motor?
Does it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, you liking these Bicknells? You like that Bicknell?
Yeah. Yeah, I went to Bicknell, I think I bought two of them from Bobby Gunther Walsh. He helped me out on them a whole lot. He took good care of me. I think I've been in a Bicknell since then. They're good, sturdy cars. you know, you can get parts pretty readily available, used parts, and, you know, and when you're buying new stuff, they don't, you know, it isn't too expensive, and the stuff lasts. They're good cars.
Right. Now, how often do you, what's your work schedule like? Do you work at the race shop on Tuesday night, Wednesday night?
I'm usually in the garage. Yeah, I'm usually in the garage about every night for a little bit. My crew guys, I got a good crew. You know, they come up Mondays and Wednesdays, you know, religiously. You know, usually I try to get the cars washed, you know, so they can get there Monday, you know, and go through everything. And if we got to repair anything or rebuild anything, we try to get it done by then. And for Wednesday, we button them up. And then, you know, Matt, he usually has off on Fridays with his work schedule. So he, you know, he scales the cars and gets them ready for the weekend.
You got any? No. We're looking at each other for the next question. Hey, Craig, what did you use to run up at Susquehanna when I worked up there? Was that a Roadrunner up there? What was that considered? Roadrunner, street stock? What were those things?
They were Thunder cars is what they called them. Pretty much they were Roadrunners. All you were allowed to do was put a, you know, the roll cage in the frame, in the cockpit. You weren't allowed to extend them out like you can the street stocks.
Okay. I just remember I worked up at Susky for 10 years. And that's where Jeff Ollum, who we all know and love, got to start announcing. He would love when these guys would come out in the track, because at that time, I don't remember first names, but we had a Whit Moyer, a Don Moyer, and a Moyer. And when he could announce that we got Whit Moyer, Don Moyer, and Moyer running under a blanket, or however he likes to say it, he looked forward to that every week if those three were running near each other. That always sticks in my head, some of his crazy sayings he had. That was a good division back then. That's when it was still fun, right?
The day you start wanting to win, it doesn't become fun anymore. it sucks the fun right out of it.
Amen.
But yeah, hey, we try to make it fun. Honestly, yeah. you have to have fun with the guys you're with, and you know, it's fun to go to the races and, you know, be with people anymore. You don't pay attention to a lot of that when you're younger. And you know, I guess it leads back to, you know, the Andy thing. You know, we were competitors and, you know, we turned into friends and, you know, we both went to each other's houses. You know, we knew each other's kids and, you know, it's, you know, and something like this happens, I guess it makes you realize how many friends you do have, you know, and make you appreciate, you know, the friendships you do make when you're racing. You meet a lot of good people.
Yep, I agree. I'd say that all the time. I don't know who I answered this question for and how it came up, but the other week somebody asked me how many people I had on Facebook that were friends and, you know, that I've known a long time or some kind of question like that. I went on, I have 231 Facebook friends, and I subtracted people that I only knew from racing that became my friends through and my involvement with dirt track racing. I was down to 29 friends once I took away racing people.
Something.
Once you get in this, all your friends, all your time.
Yeah.
I don't know, you guys probably feel the same way. It's all you do. It's a drug. It really is.
Right.
It is my drug.
I went from 17 to 37 pretty fast, I can tell you that.
Yeah, well, I went from 13 to 43 at the same speed, so. You guys, ages?
No, no, that's all right.
You know, Whippy's yawning now already, you know, so that gets you
tell. Dude, I pour concrete for a living.
Yeah, you actually work for a living, you know.
Yeah.
But you took it because they let you off on race day. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, yeah.
You threatened
me. Let me go.
Yeah, there you have it. You know. Hey, Craig, question for you. On who builds your motors?
Yep. Pete Teasdale builds them.
Okay.
And is he the only one who builds sportsman? I never heard of that. Is he the only one who builds this for, you know, in the sportsman division, or does he have other motors that people run?
Nah, he only has one for me. Well, he builds Wayne Whitmer's up at Big Diamond.
Okay.
He does motors for Neil Huber. I think his name is Greg Deal out at Williams Grove in a street stock. He just won this week. He does motors for him. He's a little guy. You know, he does, you know, real good work. You know, he takes good care of me.
And do you think the rules package they have for these sportsman motors right now, or it's a good deal?
Yeah, I mean, the more rules they make, the worse I mean, really, it kind of gets. I mean, there needs to be rules, but every time you change a rule, you know, it kind of pigeonholes you to certain places. You know, like, we can't take our cars, PA cars, to Bridgeport. I mean, not Bridgeport, to New Egypt.
Uh-huh.
No, but they can come up here because they don't allow the Dart 200 heads. You know, if a long time ago everybody would have worked together a little better, I think, and kept the rule package more strict then already, I think we would have more cars because there'd just be more stuff around.
So it's not necessarily a being strict, but just a consistent rule package across the three or four tracks that are going to be running Sportsman class.
Yeah, yeah. Like when it first started out, we all were off of the dirt rules, period.
Yeah.
It was, you know, even if they weren't a dirt track, they used the dirt 2004 Sportsman rules. You know, and now, you know, everywhere kind of, you know, tweaked them a little bit. You know, I guess guys at their tracks wanted to do a little more, you know, or a little do something different, which that's all good. But, you know, in a division where you don't have as much money readily available, everybody that races has a little bit of money or they wouldn't do it. But, you know, you can't buy a new motor every year and race for $500 a win. You just can't do it.
Right, right. But do you think that's...
And enjoy it.
Yeah. Do you think that's just the tracks making these different rules to fit their class, just to sort of like trap their racers and maybe not make them wander as let them wander as much?
All right, good season.
I don't want to accuse the tracks of trapping anybody, but kind of yeah.
Kind of yeah. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean that's the way. I think to the casual fan, that's the way it feels. You know.
Yeah.
We just, you know, we'd like to see guys. I mean, just travel around a little bit, you know, and I think honestly, and I'll say it, and the tracks are a little bit paranoid. They like to keep the guys that they got running there all the time. They want to keep them in the barn, if you will. But you know, I come from the days when you used to get, like at the Sixer, you would get, you know, like 100 cars. You know, you get a ton of cars, and those days are gone because of the rule package.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think every.
I bet you there's 100 car. I bet you there's 100 9-to-1 motors sitting in 75 different people's garages that they know they just can't run because hey, they can go and run with them, but you know you can't run for the $200 to take the green every week and still have fun.
Yeah, yeah. You got to be competitive.
Right.
Are you liking that American Racer Tire Series? You know where they're going to give away a tire?
Yeah. I joined that. Yeah, it's a good deal. You know, they, you know, any little bit that a company gives back, you know, is good.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a tire for a sportsman guy is the same as a tire for a modified guy. And, you know, it's, I'm glad to see that they, you know, at least recognize, hey, we should give a little bit back. And, you know, it's a good deal.
Yeah, because we asked the Hoosier guy at the USAC show and it was what, $198 for a right rear?
Yeah.
Why do you think more guys don't sign up for that, Craig? I see the list we have up at Diamond, and then we have 7 modified guys and 6 sportsman guys. And
that's it?
It's only $50 for the mods and $30 for the sportsman, and you pick a tire winner every week from Memorial Day to Labor Day. Why wouldn't more guys invest $30? Seems like a pretty low risk
to get a tire.
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, I didn't sign up at Diamond because I forgot about it and luckily got reminded the last night at Grandview to sign up for it. I completely forgot about the whole thing.
You think that's what it is with most of the guys? They just forget or they
don't,
understand the program? I mean, because I read the details of it because unfortunately, whatever you want to call it, I'm in charge of it up there and
mm-hmm.
It is low risk, high reward. I mean, you win that certificate one time, you're like $65 ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And with only 5 people signing up, my God, you're giving away, what, 12, 14 tires. And
you could get 2 tires,
yeah,
maybe 3.
Exactly. It really pays off. I'm just surprised that not more people support it. I could see if it was $200 a driver or something, but $30 seems like a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is.
I didn't know if you've heard from other guys why they don't support it or
No, I really didn't.
Not
I.
That's I that's really a, that doesn't that baffles me right there. You know, I don't understand that. Hey, do you think the sportsmen should have, like, I mean, they have their own coal, you know, the coal cracker.
Not this year.
Mm-hmm.
Not this year.
No,
we're not.
No, no coal cracker race this year.
For the sportsmen.
No, I mean they're that Friday before the coal cracker,
right.
But it's just a regular show.
Why can't the sportsmen have like a coal cracker?
Because last year, to be honest with you, it was our smallest field of sportsmen the entire year.
Really?
Blew our mind.
Wow. All right. I was just curious.
I mean, if we get a sponsor, maybe. No sponsor stepped up to the plate. And like I say, I think we had 19 cars show up for $1,500 to win.
Wow. Here you go. Hey, how you liking the surface up there at Big Diamond this year, Craig?
Oh, it's been real smooth.
Uh-huh. And what
yeah,
about
been,
Grandview?
Been
Grandview, been, Grandview been pretty racy for you?
Yeah, last week with all that rain, it was tacky pretty much of the night. Yeah. I like when Grandview gets slick and there's a top and bottom.
Okay. Are you a fan of that inside guardrail coming off of turn four?
I try to make myself far enough away from it I don't even have to worry about it. I run the top.
Yeah, you are up there. You are up there. You know. So hey, can you go, like, say you're having a bad night? Can you go through the pits and go to another sportsman guy and get any, you know, pointers or anything? Are you guys all?
Yeah,
I
like to think I can
guys?
Go up and talk to anybody, really.
Yeah. And it seems like the sportsmen are more of a group.
Yeah. I would agree too. They seem a lot more friendly with each other, willing to lend a hand. Because I don't think anybody's doing that for a living. Of course, in the mods, you have 5, 6, 7 guys doing it for a living. I would agree. Much more family-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing I noticed this week, I was in the pits at Grandview, and that when they called for the feature, boy, these guys went right out. You know, it's not like some other divisions, let's say. That
they got to announce it 4 times to get ready.
And that's a testimony to, I think, the sportsmanship that you see in that division. You know, those guys are ready to go out there and get racing, you know, as soon as they're called out, which is great because it moves the show along and it helps, you know. So,
yeah, absolutely.
I think this is an up-and-coming deal here for, you know, I know they've been running at Diamond for a while, but I think Grandview's got to be very happy with the sportsman division and where it's gone.
I'd be very happy if we had Grandview Sportsman Division. 33 cars a week.
Yeah. I mean, it's just unbelievable. You know?
So you guys like it better with the sail panels or without, since you have to run them at Grandview? Which do you prefer?
I think I'd rather run sail panels at Big Diamond and no sail panels at Grandview.
Oh, yeah? Why is that?
I think Grandview, Diamond's been a little more slick, you know, the last few years, probably since the last regime had it. I feel the track got more slick, but I don't know. I like when they had that wings, that sail panel show up there last year. I liked how the car was at Big Diamond.
See, son, think about Tim.
Yeah.
Not my choice. Sorry.
Yeah. But
I'll throw in a good word.
Yeah, throw a good word in there.
And I'd really like
to. You can put the big box in the sportsmen's. I can't run them anyway.
Good one. I like that.
But I'd really like to see sail panels on the sportsmen up there at Big Diamond, because it would just. It makes a difference between the two divisions, right?
That's the one thing about Grandview with the sail panels and the non-sail panels. You can tell a fan, a newcomer, you know, the difference.
Instead
of
just trying to explain the carburetor difference.
Right. I mean, but truly, I'm just saying that.
Visually, they can't see the carburetor, but visually, they can see the sail panels.
Yeah, I'm just truly saying that from a fan perspective because, you know, it gives them a different image to look at, and it gives them an idea that, you know, they're in a different division here. I mean, I really don't care about the drivers.
Yeah.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah.
So the sail panel really makes that much of a difference? I mean, it's just a little bit of sheet metal, but that really makes that much of a difference?
Last year when they had them, I went up there with the same setup I normally did, and I felt my car was a lot better. You know, I liked it. I think it was last year or the year before. I don't remember anymore.
Yeah, I think that was last year with it was 2 years ago when Brett Dale had the race up there. That night everybody ran sail panels.
Yeah, but it was, you know, I definitely, you know, went there with the same deal I usually go to Diamond with and felt it was, you know, I think it made a difference. You know, it could be in my head, but I think it did.
Cool. All right, Whip is playing on Facebook here.
Well,
you know,
someone texted me and said, they said, thank you for bringing up the lack of a coal cracker for the sportsman this year.
There you go.
Maybe I should have done that.
Another sportsman driver.
Another disgruntled.
I ain't going to say no names and ain't going to give no car number.
Well, we'll look at it as this race, this week is the big race for him this year as of right now. Should be a good show.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want me to do a quick little summary of it again while we have three gentlemen on, and then they can give their parting shots or whatever. Again, 45 laps, $1,570 to win, $157 to take the green. It will be draw for heat starting spots, so everybody's it's a fair shake. Top four in the heat will redraw for the feature spot. New Egypt, Bridgeport, Grandview, Big Diamond, Stamp Tires, all legal. No sail panels, though, and no aluminum wheels. But we at least are inviting those guys to come. You don't have to buy a Big Diamond tire if you're from New Egypt and spend that money. We want to get as many people as possible for this. Again, the lap money extra awards now totals $1,302, which is nice. Going to be a lot of guys going home with a lot of extra money. And there's a cash dash for heat winners, too. The winner of the cash dash will get $157, second will get $45, and third will get $22. So we've got a little cash dash action. We haven't had one of them up there for about a year. So
yeah. That's cool.
And like I said, I really think we'll get 40 cars. So hopefully the drivers come out and support it, the fans come out and support it, if for no other reason, in memory of a great man. That's really all I can say about it.
That's a great tribute. Guys, you want to add anything?
Mm-hmm. If you guys don't mind, I was drawing a blank earlier for stories. I actually have three, and I'll make them as quick as possible. I know we're getting near the end of the show, if you guys don't mind.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, 1990, my dad running street stocks. This shows how determined of a person he was, and, you know, also a lot of people helped him out during this tonight. But in the heat race in the street stocks, he flipped over. The hood came off the car. The door was off the car. It was a mess. They managed to get the car mostly back together and running in time for the Conti. And he started last in the Conti or near it, out of maybe like 16 cars or so. No hood on the car. He ended up driving it and finishing second in the Conti to make the feature. He comes into pits and the officials tell him he has to have the hood on the car, which was crumbled to the size of the door. So they stretched out as best they could. They bungee corded it on and sent him out for the feature, and he started, you know, like 23rd or something in the feature. He ended up getting all the way up to fourth spot. I think he ended up finishing in sixth because it started to run a little funny after a while. I think that shows how determined he was just as a racer and in general. Another two good stories that show how helpful of a person he was. 1991 in the street stocks, again in the heat race, caution comes out, he went to slow down, and Mike Rodoka got locked together with him, and they both went up into the outside wall in turn three. My dad did one barrel roll, and Rodoka's car kind of drove underneath of his when it happened. And his car just gets done flipping over, and he's already got the window net down. My dad, he climbs out, and he goes over to see if Mike's okay, and he's the one that flipped over. So third good story, Louie's going to hate me for this one, but I'm going to share it anyway. Louie Minchuk, yeah, Chuck knows where it's going. Louie Minchuk used to, my dad helped them out. They used our garage. We used to help each other all the time. They helped me with the Roadrunner and all that when I first started. And the one night, I was out in the feature. I was on the track when it happened, but Louie was, I think he was changing out of his racing suit into his street clothes or something, whatever. He was changing, and
this is not a nice way to put this, but he got himself stuck in his zipper.
Oh.
Yeah, that's about the best way I could word it.
Yes. Yes. Himself.
So,
yeah.
Himself. Yes. he proceeded to yell for like help, not knowing what to do. His dad came over to help, and whipped out his I don't know what the heck they're called, but this little like universal tool or whatever out of his back pocket. He was ready to go right away. And my dad was there, and Louis, the old man, said he needed somebody to hold a flashlight because he's like, I can't try to pull the zipper if I can't see what's going on. So my dad, being the nice guy that he is, offered to hold the flashlight for him, but he's like, I'm not looking, but you just tell me where to aim it.
Oh, I can give you a testament to I can give you a testament
situation.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. I can tell you what kind of guy Andy Fayish was. He, Big Diamond, we were running, I think it was 05 or 06. I blew my engine up. Before they put me in, and Andy was standing at my trailer. He said, ah, it broke. I said, yeah. He says, do you have another one? I said, nope. He said, well, he said, mine's sitting in the garage. I said, and he says, come up and get it. I was like, well, I really don't want to borrow. He says, nope, you come get it. I said, you're putting my engine in. So I went up and got it, and we put his engine in. And, of course, because I had his engine in, I flipped. So they flipped me back over, pushed me in the pits, and Andy goes, how much oil came out? I was like, I don't know. I said, well, if we put oil back in, can we run it? He goes, yeah. So he fired it back up, went back out on the track. He didn't know. He would many, I mean, there's, you could fill an hour probably telling the times that, you know, I came in, crashed, and Andy was standing there with a jack and wrenches and, you know, right standing next to my crew guys ready to fix whatever needed to be done. I mean, he was the kind of person that, you know, we all probably wish we could be till we're done, you know. Would do anything for anybody and hopefully be in the same shoes. If we're in the same shoes, it's the same done for us.
That's a great testimony to this individual, and it would be great to see you know, as many racers that can get there as possible, along with the fans. If nothing else, go to support this family who's been involved with racing for all these years, and give them a handshake when you see them, and a pat on the back, and tell them how much you support and really like how they've supported the sport you love.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So with that, we got about 2 minutes left in the show. Anybody have any other announcements they we need to make?
I will do one very quickly.
You got 90 seconds.
Involve
hurry up.
Big Diamond Raceway, not Speedway. This is a Fritz and Krista Rehrig historical event. It is going to be Saturday, August 17th. This event is open to drivers, car owners, race fans, Anthracite Speedway, Mount Carbon, Goldmine, Mahoning City, Branchdale Speedway, Circle M, Fort Nedland, and the original Schuylkill County Fairgrounds and Big Diamond Raceway. Get out there, meet and greet all the drivers. There's going to be an autograph session, vintage race cars on display, and vintage race cars on the track in action. So Mike Clay is kind of leading this deal up. He can be reached at 570-294-2669 for any information. We will be talking about this a little bit later on. It is admission. The admission is free to the public, but it is a $10 pit insurance fee. So we will talk about that again. I just want to get it out there. I'd like to thank everybody for being on the show. Thank you so much. Good luck to everybody at the Andy Fayish Memorial Race this weekend. Thanks for Mark the Shark Garmer for stopping by. Thanks for Brian Flying Brian Shoes stopping by. For Whip, Scott, Timmy Long, and myself, Joe Adams, thank you so much for tuning in to Lowdown and Dirty. See you all next Tuesday.
Good luck this weekend, guys.
It's just crazy.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Guys, thanks so much for being on. You guys did great.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for
yeah.
for helping
us. Everything.
It's our pleasure.